So Exodus 23, 14 through 19. Today I'm going to go over some scriptures that command us to come before God this time of year. The word time is appropriate, as that's the word used in the King James Version. Most of us use that, or the newer King James, the modern King James. I don't know. The last couple of days has been a real struggle. Mark told me that I needed to put something together to speak, and that's always a challenge for me because I'm not sure exactly what I, you know, the whole preaching to the choir concept where you guys already know most of everything. Well, why would I be able to get up here and say anything that matters a whole lot? But the other day, something, I overheard something I wasn't supposed to hear. And that's because I have big ears on occasion. And it started me thinking about some scriptures in the Bible that relate to this time of year, and specifically yesterday, which was what we got. I don't even think we really even talked about it much. I wasn't here for the very, very, very first part of the service yesterday morning. Did anybody mention it all? Did we talk about wave sheep at all? Did we discuss it at all? Well, I think that's important, and I think it's important enough to talk about today because of my big ears. So verse 14 of Exodus 23, it says, three times you shall keep a feast unto me in the year. Three times in the year we're supposed to come before God and keep the feast. A feast. Verse 15, you shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days as I command you. In the time appointed, the month of Abib, for in it you came out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. Keep that last thing that I said in the back of your mind, because that's where I'm going with this. None shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the feast of first fruits, or the first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the year, end of the year, when you have gathered in your labors out of the field. Three times in a year all your males shall appear before the Lord God. Verse 18, you shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until morning. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God, and you shall not see the kid in his mother's milk. So when Moses went up to the top of the mountain, he met with Jesus. We all know that that's Jesus that he met with. And Jesus wrote with his finger the covenant that he made with Israel on the two tables of stone. I can see now I'm going to get a little warm up here. And then Israel, after this all happened, while this was all going on, the camp of Israel down at the base of the mountain, and they started to show how truly fleshy they were. As a matter of fact, how much they were in the flesh, literally. Because when you go through Exodus 32, you see where Aaron made the people rise up to play, and they were all naked. Bad, 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 bad. Not a good idea. And so Moses destroyed, when he came down the mount and saw what was going on, he destroyed the tables containing the covenant at the base of Mount Horeb, or Mount Sinai. After Moses had a talk with Jesus and convinced him that killing Israel was a rash decision, Jesus told Moses to come back up the mountain with two new tables of stone so he could start over. I wonder if this is where we get the phrase in our modern vernacular, back to the drawing board. You know, when you use the English language, a lot of the times the the phrases used come right out of, you know, handwriting on the wall, Daniel, you know, that kind of thing. It's just kind of fun to look at all that. Turn over to Exodus 34, 18 through 26. Exodus 34, 18 through 26. After Israel made the big boo-boo that they made in Exodus 32, it's recorded, and then 33, and then on to 34, Jesus starts all over with the new tables of stone that Moses has brought up the mount. And it's written again for us. Starting in 18, it says, "The feast of unleavened bread you shall keep. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, as I commanded you, in the time of the month of Abib. For in the month of Abib you came out of Egypt. All that open the matrix is mine, and every firstling among the cattle, whether ox or sheep, that is male. But the firstling of an ass you shall redeem with a lamb, and if you redeem him not, then you shall break his neck. All the firstborn of your sons you shall redeem, and none shall appear before me empty." Just wanted to make sure Mark actually put that timer up here, because I'm not going to talk as long as he thinks I'm supposed to. I'll tell you that right now. Oh, I could wing it. I could stand up here and yabber like nobody's business if I wanted to. Okay, verse 21. 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. In earing time and in harvest time you shall rest. And then verse 22, it says, "And you shall observe the feast of weeks, of the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Thrice in a year," verse 23, "thrice in a year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out of the nations before you and enlarge your borders, neither shall any man desire your land, when you shall go up to appear before the Lord your God thrice in a year." So this was a command. God was going to intervene supernaturally and make sure that nobody, none of the other nations that are surrounding Israel are going to come down and try and be bad nations and steal and rape and pillage and all that entails. I always look at what's going on in the world right now, especially in this country. And I hear people complain about, you know, we need to do this and we need to do that relative to all the terrorist activity and all that nonsense that's going on, which I believe is an Illuminati blow-up. I believe that that's intentionally being brought about. But if we were really a true nation of God, we would be doing everything that God laid down. We would be keeping the Sabbath on the correct day. We would be keeping the holy days like God said we're supposed to. And if we did do that, we wouldn't have to worry about Bin Laden, Laden, Obama, whatever you want to call him. You wouldn't have to worry about anybody coming into this land. God would take care of the problem. But we don't do that, and we will suffer the consequences for it. We've already had. And us, as a group of, as a body of believers, this is in our country anyway. Abraham did not have a country, and neither do we. We are all brethren of one nation, and that nation has yet to be established. All right. Verse 25, "You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven, neither shall you sacrifice the feast of the Passover, neither shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left until morning." You guys are going to have to forgive me. My eyes are starting to really have problems, and I need to get glasses. I'm starting to see blurry. It's getting pretty bad.
Maturity.
Huh?
Maturity.
Yeah. That and... By the way, I want to thank the ladies the other night that you know, pumped up my ego by letting me win 2 games of hearts. Fran and Cherie and Cheryl, I appreciate that. I want to also thank Fran for reminding me that I am getting older and that I am follically challenged. And that I, you know, she made a comment about something about needing a toupee. Hat does the same thing. Hat does the same thing.
Cheaper.
A whole lot cheaper. And actually, it looks better, too. But in verse 25, it says, "You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven, neither shall you sacrifice the feast of the Passover be left until the morning." So we're not supposed to keep that Passover feast. We're supposed to burn it with fire. We know that from reading in Exodus 12, 13, and all the instructions that go along with that. It also says that you should not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven. That's a couple of places in the Bible. Those people that, and I'm not going to pick on anybody in this room, but those people that believe that you keep the Passover at the beginning of the 14th, the Bible says that the days of unleavened bread is 7 days long. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. And that starts beginning the 15th. If you keep the Passover at the beginning of the 14th, then you got a little bit of a problem. Because you can't eat the Passover with leavened bread. So if you're eating Passover on the 14th with unleavened bread, then you've added a day to the days of unleavened bread and you've made it an eighth day, 8 days. Remember what the Bible says? You shall not add to or diminish from my word. That's just one thing that people need to put in the back of their mind. The old worldwide teaching was that you could eat the Passover at the beginning of the 14th, go out and eat, and they do it with unleavened bread. And then all day on the in the afternoon of the 14th, they do their preparation, and you could eat leavened bread. And then starting the beginning of the 15th, you'd start the 7 days of unleavened bread. Does anybody ever think about stuff like that? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Verse 26. "The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God, and you shall not seethe the kid in its mother's milk." Okay, so a reiteration of what was already done. The tables of stone containing the covenant. Moses breaks them, brings up the new hewn out stones. Jesus starts all over and reiterates everything he already laid down. So we have this a second time. I kind of find that interesting. One of God's rules, principles is two witnesses establishes a matter. So you've got it written down twice just in the book of Exodus alone. Turn over to Deuteronomy 16. So far we've seen that that we have a command that we're to assemble three times in a year. And it said, we're to bring the first of the first fruits to the Lord. Deuteronomy 16, we're going to go through quite a bit of this. Verse 1, "Observe the month of Abib and keep Passover unto the Lord your God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you forth out of Egypt by night. And you shall therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord your God of the flock and of the herds, in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For you came forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you may remember the day when you came forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. And there shall be no leavened bread seen with you in all your coasts 7 days. Neither shall there be anything of the flesh which you sacrifice the first day at even remain all night until the morning." All right? I'm gonna point out something here. I'm going to get off on a little bit of a tangent. At the first day at even, he's talking about the sacrifice of the Passover. Verse 5, Remember the verse 4, what I just said. Verse 5, you shall not sacrifice the Passover within any of your gates which the Lord your God gives you, but in the place which the Lord your God shall choose to place his name in. There you shall sacrifice the Passover at even at the going down of the sun at the season that you came forth out of Egypt. So in verse 4 he says, at the first day at even, and in verse 6 he talks about the going down of the sun of another day at even. So what he does is he uses two verses and he says the same thing, locking in a time, it's a time marker is what it is. People want to say that some people want to say, and it's an old worldwide teaching, and all the splinter groups have adopted it, or most of them have, that when the sun goes down starting the 14th, that's when Passover was. No, it says right here, it was the end of one day leading into another day. And that day is the end of the 14th going into the 15th. And verse 7. And you shall roast and eat it in the place which the Lord your God shall choose, and you shall turn it in the morning and go into your tents. Verse 8. 6 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day it shall be a solemn assembly to the Lord your God. You shall do no work therein. Verse 9. 7 weeks you shall number to you, begin to number the 7 weeks from such time that you begin to put the sickle to the corn. And you shall keep the feast of weeks unto the Lord your God with a tribute of a freewill offering of your hand, which you shall give unto the Lord your God according to the Lord your God has blessed you. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your son and your daughter and your manservant and your maidservant and the Levite which is within your gates, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow that are among you in the place which the Lord your God hath chosen to place his name there. And you shall remember that you were a bondman in Egypt, and you shall observe and do these statutes. You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. After that, you have gathered in the corn and the wine, and you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter and your manservant and your maidservant, the Levite and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are within your gates. 7 days you shall keep a solemn feast unto the Lord your God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord your God shall bless you in all your increase and in all the works of your hands. Therefore you shall surely rejoice. 3 times in a year you shall all the males appear before the Lord your God in the place which he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. There's that phrase again. So it's 3 times in a year. I read all of that because it contained all of the different times that he's talking about, the 3 different times. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Harvest, and the Feast of Tabernacles, or Ingathering. The church that I came into when God first called me used to use verse 16 to send the collection plate around on every high day during the year. We all know that there are 7 holy days. However, there is only the command to appear before God 3 times, not 7. I was in the church 8 years before I did the math on that one, and actually it was somebody else that pointed it out to me. Here we are, every holy day show up, pastor's giving the pastor more money. And that's basically what it was. It was giving the pastor more money. Y'all who know my background know who that is, and that's exactly the way he was. It's a family business for him. Turn to 1 Kings 9:25. First Kings 9:25. I'm going to just use all of them. There's not that many, and I'm using it for filler. I'm going to hit on all the times, the three different times of the year, and how they're written in Scripture. 1 Kings 9:25 is one of them. It says, "And three times in a year did Solomon offer burnt offerings and peace offerings upon the altar which he built unto the Lord, and he burnt incense upon the altar that was before the Lord. And so he finished the house." We read back in Deuteronomy 16, and I just read that in each one of those holy times, there was an offering brought. But there was also something else that they did. 2 Chronicles 8:12-13. Chronicles 8:12 says, "Then Solomon offered burnt offerings unto the Lord on the altar of the Lord, which he had built before the porch, even after a certain rate every day, offering according to the commandment of Moses on the Sabbaths, and on the new moons, and on the solemn feasts, three times in the year, even the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles." So we see that three times in a year, God's people were to come before Him, and they were not to be to do so empty. They were to have an offering each time. By the way, Feast of Weeks is also known as the Feast of Harvest or the Feast of First Fruits. The Feast of Tabernacles and the Feast of Ingathering are one and the same as well. Now, since we're in the days of unleavened bread, I wanted to touch on something of importance. I just asked about, did we do anything relative to the wave sheaf yesterday? Because that was wave sheaf first day, or Sunday, if you want to call it that. Turn over to Leviticus 23, starting in verse 9. Leviticus 23, starting in verse 9, and we're going to go all the way down to 16. Verse 9 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you become into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath the priest shall wave it. And you shall offer that day, when you wave the sheaf, a he lamb without blemish in the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord, and the meat offering thereof shall be with 2 tenths deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor, and the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, a fourth part of the hin. And you shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. And you shall count unto the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord." This scripture touches on another controversy of which Sabbath do you start your count on? And a lot of people say that it's the first holy day. I don't know if there's any that say it's the last holy day. But it's not neither one of those. It's the Sabbath in the middle during the days of unleavened bread. And you don't even have to look the numbers up on which Sabbath. You know, you can go to the Strong's and look the number up. And it says 7676 and 7675 or 7677. I don't remember which. I don't have them listed. But all you have to do is know that you're counting Sabbaths. Well, there aren't seven holy day Sabbaths. You're counting seven Sabbaths. Weekly Sabbaths. And you start on that Sabbath. Deuteronomy 16 and the other places that I already referenced talk about the three times in the year you're to bring, you're to appear before the Lord and not empty. This is different. The wave sheaf is a different concept. The first fruit, the first of the first fruits was for God, and this was performed by Jesus. He was the sheaf of the wave offering. He was also the priest. He was the high priest that did this. He is the first of the first fruits to God. Now I have a question. Is that fulfilled, Jesus keeping being the wave sheaf, is that fulfilled to the exclusion of Scripture? In other words, does that negate the responsibility that we have to bring our first fruits to God every year? When it says that we are to bring our first of the first fruits to the priest, doesn't that mean that we are to bring our first fruits to our high priest? And isn't that Jesus? Now let me get to the reason, a little bit more in depth of the reason why I'm talking about this. Now, as I told you, I overheard something that my big ears shouldn't have heard or wasn't supposed to hear the other day, and I'll not mention who was talking to whom or who was talking to who. I don't know how my English is not so good. But there's a cost to keeping, physical, financial cost to keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. All right? This lodge has a rather substantial cost, of which Mark and Mary asked for no help in advance to secure. And with the lodge, it comes all of the group camp bunkhouses, and at no additional expense, it's just part of the whole package. So in other words, the park has a deal, or a one, it's an all-in-one for the group camp. You pay for the lodge, and the rest is thrown in gratis. And that allows for an inexpensive way to keep the feast, albeit a kind of a cold one this year with the way things turned out. Not normally the way it is. I remember coming here 4 years ago, and we had rain. Just never stopped. It just never stopped. I think the first, because I had moved here from Texas, I was going to live, I tried my hand at living in Knoxville, in the Knoxville area for a couple months. And the first, I want to say the first 28 days I was here, it rained 26 of the 28 days. And I thought, I don't really like humidity that much, you know? But this year it's been a little bit different, and that's, you know, you're going to have that with this time of year. You know, springtime, catch as catch can, you know, whatever the cards are dealt. And I'd imagine we're probably never ever going to experience another one in our lifetime as bitter cold as it's been. I could eat my words and next year it happened, but anyway, getting back to the point I'm trying to make is, The lodge here has a very nice kitchen, which allows for us to all have meals together three times a day. And the meals cost money. Again, Mark and Mary don't ask for any money from anyone up front in advance, expecting that everyone will meet the needs of the cost of keeping the feast, that is, the cost of the lodge and the food provided. That need is to be met by the offerings of the brethren who attend the feast. By the way, I didn't consult on anybody when I put this together. I struggled to come up with a topic. And last night, I went in the bathroom and I got on my knees and started praying. I'm like, what? And this was 11 o'clock. What do you want me to talk about? Because I just kept running. I would walk into brick walls trying to figure out what to talk about. And I don't like to stand up here and just say whatever, and you guys get nothing out of it. I want you to get something out of it. So anyway, I started at about 11:30. I started putting some stuff together. This was kind of on my heart ever since I heard what I heard. So I started working on it, I worked on it, and I started looking at some of the scriptures, and I kind of learned a couple of things that I wasn't even aware of. We did on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, or excuse me, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we did pass the collection basket as it said in Deuteronomy 16:16. However, the offering that was collected was, bluntly, it was woefully inadequate for the cost of this lodge and the food necessary to feed all the mouths that are here. Some of us have small families, and they're growing. And some of us have large families, and they're growing still. And some have been here for the whole feast, and some have arrived a little late. All right. But we all have a responsibility to make sure, and I really wish that I could have given this yesterday, because everybody needed to hear it, not just the few that we have here today. All right. Everybody needs to be a part of this, and everybody needs to hear this. But I believe Scripture is pretty clear that we are to abide by the commandment to bring our first fruits to God. And I'm going to throw in a little aside, because God has us bring the first of the first fruits to Him at the beginning of the year, which happens to coincide with April. Isn't it ironic that Satan, who is the great counterfeiter, has us bring the offering, his offering, to the government every year at April 15th? Same time of year? Is it lost on anybody else? I thought that was kind of interesting. I call him the insane one, because he's nuts. He's absolutely insane. He's pathologically insane. And he never ceases to amaze me how much he wants to be like God. I believe there's a precedent in the New Testament regarding the first fruit offering. Turn to 1 Corinthians 16. The wave sheaf offering, I believe, is still in force. I don't think that we just get a pass on that. I think that it's something that, I don't know that it's necessarily mandatory, you have to do it, but when there's a need, I think it needs to be done. And I can prove from Scripture that it was done, and it's recorded not only in 1 Corinthians 16, and not only in Romans 15, but also it talks about it in a couple other places a little bit. But 1 Corinthians 16:1 says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality to Jerusalem." Now, most of us know that the Sunday-keeping crowd uses this to justify the first day, Sunday, is now the day of worship. That just shows you how perverted people are, and they don't know their Scriptures, and how Satan can deceive. Because what this is talking about right here is not anything to do with the Sunday worship service. This has everything to do with the feast of the first fruits, first of the first fruits in gathering. Gathering, not in gathering, but gathering. The people in Jerusalem were being blacklisted, the true saints of God, those that were converted to Christ, and they were having a problem living. I mean, they didn't have food, and they were suffering. And Paul called, using the written pen, but he called up on all the churches in Galatia to help them out. He sent letters to everybody saying, "Hey, I want you to take up an offering." And that offering was to be done when? Wave Sheaf Birthday. Wave Sheaf Sunday. The first day in your count. Because when it says in verse 2, upon the first day of the week, I know probably most of y'all looked at that. The first day is not there, and week is Sabbath. And for years I struggled with that until Kenny finally pointed, he showed me that. My brother-in-law Kenny, y'all know Kenny, he was here for a couple of days. He pointed that out to me probably about a year ago, and I started dancing around thinking, man, now I finally understand what's being talked about there, because I could never figure that out, because I'm not one of those guys that goes reading everybody else's stuff. I like to try and figure it out on my own. Kenny had happened to figure it out before I did. So, but what it's talking about here is the first day of the weeks, and you'll find that phrase 8 times it appears in the New Testament. 6 of which are discussing the day of Jesus' resurrection. One's talking about how Paul is in, I don't remember, but he's traveling over to Troas, and that's recorded in Acts 20, verse 7. But this is not talking about the first day of the week. It's talking about the first day of the weeks, the first of the Sabbaths. This is the first day in the count to the Pentecost. This is the wave sheaf offering. I believe that's what's going on here. Turn over to Romans 15, 24. Romans 15, 24. Hey, you guys like doing timelines? Any of you guys know the timeline? I mean, I know you guys read the book of Acts and you see how it's all laid out from, you know, A point A to point Z, or however you want to reference it. There's so much going on and there's so much being talked about that I have to actually sit down and plot it out. And I started doing that with Paul's ministry. It's one of those five or six projects, major projects that I work on all at the same time. You know, I got this one and I get tired of it and I go to another one. And I started doing that with Paul and his ministry, and I haven't even got to this point yet in that research, in that study. But one thing I know for sure is Paul was all over the place doing everything. He was trying to get a bunch of stuff done. And because he was, and it's written down by the Apostle Luke, the disciple Luke, and he's got so much information that it kind of gets a little bit confusing. But in Romans 15, 24 through 27, it reads, and this is about the same offering that I mentioned in 1 Corinthians 16. Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way there thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. And it has pleased them truly, and they are debtors. And their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. I've already read it. I'm not going to ask you to go back and look at it. But in Exodus 23:19 and Exodus 34:26, it says, "The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God." Right, and that was to be done on the first day after the Sabbath during the days of unleavened bread. I'm going to summarize a few things. God commanded all of mankind who accepts his everlasting covenant that he was to be given the first of the first fruits. God was to get the first. This was to be done on the first day of the count to Pentecost. This was not just for Old Testament, but for all of Israel forever. Paul used this offering to meet the physical needs of the saints in Jerusalem who had a real and true need. And to violate this command of the everlasting covenant is just like every other violation of the everlasting covenant. It be a sin. So in conclusion, I am going to wrap this up. I know Mark's probably not going to be too happy with me, but y'all will, because you're probably going to be getting ready to eat anyway. It's our responsibility toward God to obey Him. It is also our responsibility to provide for our families if we can. Mark and the church here in Knoxville have made a provision for our spiritual needs. It is not their responsibility to provide for our physical needs during our stay here at Big Ridge. That is our job. Mark is the last person that can do that anyway. He was laid off from a job several months ago and still trying to get things worked out. So I'm asking everybody to, and I wish I could, like I said, have said this yesterday, because there's a lot more people here. I'm asking everybody to dig deep in your pockets and help relieve all the costs. I do think it would be, and I'm going to ask Mark privately, for a future reference, what kind of, because he always just leaves it to our hearts, but a lot of times, you know, our hearts are cheap. I have that little problem. I'm not cheap so much as I'm just a little bit on the poor side. I don't have as much money as I'd like to have. But I'm going to ask him what would be helpful, you know, what kind of monetary remuneration is necessary to from everybody, if you have so many people, to divide it by so much, to help them out. I just don't like the fact that, you know, we're here for a week and they do all the work that they do. And I'm going to tell you something, guys, it's a boatload of work. A boatload of work to put this together. He's got a whole van and trailer stacked full of stuff before he even gets here. They got to go out and buy food. They got to get everything ready. You know, they're putting up plastic on the windows out there. I mean, it's pretty time consuming, not to mention the financial aspect of it. So anyway, I'm going to ask that everybody help them out, making sure that we give what we're supposed to be giving, and I'll apologize to Mark right now for bringing this whole subject up, because I know it's making you pretty uncomfortable back there. But anyway, I thank you for your time.